The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Kenza Haddock joins Wellness Wednesdays to help you identify subtle attacks on your mental health and take proactive steps toward healing.
If I don't believe that God loves me, and if I don't believe that God is a loving, holy God, then I'm going to try to make up for it in other ways. And let me tell you, Satan, like it says in 1 Peter 5:8, he is roaring like a lion, right? Seeking those he wants to devour. Yes.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. This is Tammy Trent.
Hello.
We care about you. All aspects of really your life as much as we can, but you know, we're here to hopefully feed you spiritually, encourage spiritual growth, and help with something that's a major issue these days with a lot of people, and that is the idea of mental health. And Tammy, I know you run into this. Hey, have you heard much from people saying, man, I'm struggling with anxiety, worry, fear, those kinds of things?
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. And I think more now than ever before. And I think people feel discouraged because they keep struggling with the same things over and over again and don't ever feel like there's a path to true freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? There is an enemy out there, but sometimes you might wonder, what is that enemy? Well, today we're going to help you identify three enemies of your mental health, and that is the title of a book written by our guest, Kenza Haddock, who is a licensed professional counselor. And I've had the opportunity to interview her, as Tammy, as you've seen online a few times, and she's a joy to be around.
She's absolutely amazing.
And she knows what she's talking about. So, Kenza, welcome to Life Today. Great to have you here in the studio with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's jump right into this, because this is a big topic. I think it'd be good right off the top to just, let's tell people what the three enemies are, and then we can talk through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have three enemies of our mental health. The first one is Satan, and that's the adversary. That's our infernal enemy. The second one is our flesh, and that is our sinful nature. And so you can remember that by remembering our internal enemy. We have an internal enemy. That's our sinful nature. The third one is the world, as in people trying to exert influence over us to lead us outside of God's will for our lives, and that is our external enemy.
Now, you have faced these personally, and I know you tell your whole testimony in a different book, but give people just a brief idea of your background, because it's fascinating, but it ties into this.
Yeah, so I grew up in an Islamic household. And so my understanding of God growing up, or who God was he didn't desire a relationship with me. He didn't care about me. He was more so like a spiritual pharaoh. That's how I thought of him, a dictator. And Islam is based on earning salvation based on works. And so up until I was teenage years till 23 years old, I started struggling with so much anxiety and so much depression. And let me tell you, from a mental health perspective, I didn't notice then, but I notice now, anxiety and depression are like cousins. That's what we call them. And they feed off of each other. And so I was just walking around with this cloud of shame because I knew I was sinful, but I just could not earn salvation by my own willpower, to the point where I struggled with suicidal ideations. I mean, anxiety was my norm. And it wasn't until I was 23 years old and I just cried out to God. And thankfully, the Lord had been, you know, knocking on the door of my heart looking back. And one night, I mean, I was in bed and I had a dream that it was the end times. And in this dream, I was looking out the window. And as I looked out, I saw the sky open and this man in a white robe descending from the sky. And Tammy, Randy, for the first time in my life, I felt this peace I had never felt in my entire life. I mean, anxiety was my norm. And so I felt this peace. And as he was coming down and in authority and with his hands wide open, I was like, there's something about him. Now, I wish I could tell you I woke up, gave my life to Jesus, and everything was great. But no, that's not how it went. giving my life to Jesus meant I had to leave Islam, which came with its own type of anxiety, right? Yeah. Because I had to leave my mother, father, brothers, sisters, because that would be in violation of apostasy law, which is, even in the United States, that was, I mean, they would see me as a traitor. And so I left the state for safety reasons, and I just had to get to know who I was. And the hardest part about that was I needed to know who the one true God is, right?
Yes.
And so that was, that in itself was a whole journey. And I mean, I just pushed through it by God's grace, and the Holy Spirit was there. And I mean, it was incredible, but it took about 8 to 10 months for me to make the decision to leave and move to South Carolina.
Wow.
Unbelievable. How did you get into the field that you're in right now? I mean, I think it's obviously like probably a personal experience, but you really dove all in because you wanted to also help so many other people. But what was it for you that just was like, this is it, this is my calling, and I'm diving all in?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I never thought I could become a counselor. And so I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time after I became a believer. And you know when God is knocking on the door of your heart to do something, He won't let up.
That's right.
And I fought back because I just felt so unqualified, being that I was raised in, you know, so much dysfunction. And so the more pull I felt toward counseling, the more I'm like, Lord, that is not who I am. I'm so unqualified for this. Wow. And so I went and asked my pastor at the time, and he said, yeah, that's not how God works. He doesn't make sure you're qualified, and then he calls you. No, it's the opposite. And so they prayed over me, and I went back to school for counseling. And throughout my counseling journey, like throughout going to grad school, the Lord worked in me also to work out some of my anxieties, some of the things that brought me down, some oppressions. And so that helped a lot. Now, I graduate and I start my internship, and then I finish that and I start my clinicals, and I start doing Christian and clinical counseling. So both, merging both theology and therapy together. And I realized that so many brothers and sisters in the faith struggle with the same ideas and the same oppressive thoughts that I struggled with before I was a believer, and even after I was a believer. And so as I did my research, I realized over the years that we're fighting these three enemies simultaneously over and over. And so we have to learn the weapons of our warfare.
Yeah, and to deal with it holistically. And by the way, there are many things related to your mental health that are physical, and you need a doctor to deal with those. And so if that's the situation with you, we would encourage you to see your physician. We're not offering medical advice here, but there is also a spiritual aspect to it. And I find it interesting that you say Christians struggle with a lot of the same things, because when you saw Jesus, whether you recognized Him in your dream or not, you at least sensed the peace.
Yes.
And we refer to Him as the Prince of Peace. The Bible says that. What do you think is going on with Christians who are struggling with their mental health, with the anxiety, with the worry, with the fear, the confusion sometimes, on the more spiritual side of things? What do you see going on?
Yeah, you know, so much of it is from a spiritual perspective, we don't discern God's voice from the enemy's voice. Mm-hmm. And that comes from, sometimes we hold the wrong idea of who God is. Mm-hmm. And you would not believe how many people that I see and I treat from a trauma perspective, trauma clients, who have this idea about God that He is a harsh judge, mm-hmm. that He is a dictator, mm-hmm. that He's just waiting for them to mess up. And that's not who He is. The problem is, I can tell that person until I'm blue in the face, but it takes experience, right? And that's how we develop that trust and develop that relationship. And so here's what happens. I'm glad you asked that question, because here's what happens. If I walk in, and that's why I fell into the first enemy, and that's the devil, right? If I don't believe that God loves me, and if I don't believe that God is a loving, holy God, then I'm going to try to make up for it in other ways. And let me tell you, Satan, like it says in 1 Peter 5:8, he is roaring like a lion, right? Seeking those he wants to devour.
Yes.
And so what he does is he starts planting doubt. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. I mean, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind, and are we discerning? Are they from the enemy, or are they truly from God? Because if a thought is, I'm a loser, or if I look in the mirror and I say, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I am this, I am that. I mean, there are so many thoughts that come to our minds. And are we casting them down like the Bible says? Do we know how to discern between the two?
Yeah, it sounds like that really one very important step towards mental health in a positive way is replacing lies with God's truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And here's the thing. Some people may say, oh, that's just, you know, words of affirmation, or that's just positive thinking. No, it's not. Hebrews 4:12 is very, very clear. It says the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces through bone and marrow and soul, the division of soul and spirit. Yeah. The word of God is the only one that has the capacity to pierce through the enemy's lies because Jesus has defeated the powers of darkness. Amen. And so we're able to just understand and cling to God's word and understand that is truth. And so we're able to cast down the lies. Looking at myself and saying something just the opposite of what I believe about myself, that's not going to work. That's just like putting a Band-Aid on me. And that's where I've found so many people. But appropriating God's word over my life, oh no, the enemy has to flee, because then I am standing in obedience to God's will.
Yeah.
Do you think mental health is a spiritual war?
I do, to a certain degree. And here's why. I do believe that there are times when some people are dealing with hormonal imbalances.
Yep.
So I don't want to negate that, because I myself dealt with postpartum anxiety and depression. And I was told by well-meaning people, you need to read your Bible more.
Yes,
when,
exactly.
Listen,
yep, yep.
I knew that it's not a matter of, I'm not going to cry, because I knew it was not a matter of reading my Bible. I knew it was a matter of, I'm dealing with a hormonal imbalance and I needed to get on medication, and it's okay. Don't shame someone just because they're dealing with something that's physical,
right? That's right.
Now, if someone is not walking with the Lord, someone is not, doesn't hold the right perspective of God, someone is not spending time with the Lord, then yes, I mean, they're not going to win the battle against their mental health.
How do we win the battle? How did you win the battle?
Yeah, so it's defeating the battle with each one of these three enemies. And I like what you had said last time we talked, Randy. You said, listen, the war has already been won.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically cheating, right? We just need to, like, understand the war that has been won, right? And so I wanted, number one, I needed to be real with myself and with the Lord, come before the Lord. And there's a list of things that open us up to the kingdom of darkness that we need to understand whether or not we have engaged in. Like, for example, I had engaged in, and I'm very open about it, I had engaged in astrology, Chinese horoscopes, yoga. I mean, I had engaged in so many activities that I needed to come before the Lord and humble myself and renounce them and ask for His forgiveness and understand also that, hey, if we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to forgive us and just turn away from those things. So any astrological apps, delete them. I had to get rid of all of that. That was number one, how to defeat the first enemy.
Yeah, and, you know, Scripture's replete with that. As the Israelites moved into the Promised Land, they were told not to, you know, worship the other gods, not to even marry sometimes into unbelievers. So, yeah, that's definitely a biblical concept. I think a lot of people, however, deal with, I would call it disobedience, because when the Bible says, you know, for example, a hard one, forgive, and we don't want to, because we know somebody's done something wrong, and they, you know, we need justice, and we trust our sense of justice over God's sense of justice sometimes, if we're honest. Do you find that those types of things become something that, you know, bitterness is another one, by the way, that Scripture very distinctly talks about. Does that really impact our mental health in negative ways?
Oh, absolutely, it does. Because unforgiveness is rooted in unprocessed emotions as well. And so we allow that situation that happened to go unprocessed, and so it goes deep within our hearts, and it starts to weigh us down, for sure, absolutely. Yeah. And it results not only in depression, but also in anxiety, because it's inner turmoil. Because, yeah. I mean, think about someone who has hurt you, and you hadn't forgiven them. And listen, I've done it, too. God, He is a good Father. He will let us sit in that inner turmoil, and it's biblical. He says that He will. And so then you start thinking about the situation over and over and replaying it. How should I have said this? How should I have said that? And so, yeah, there's a recipe to the right way to forgive also. Mm-hmm. And there's a recipe of the wrong way to forgive. And forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation either. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people will shy away from forgiveness because they're like, well, I don't want to reconcile with that person, you know, if they're abusive or if they're not good for them. So, no, for sure.
Can I ask you a practical question?
Yeah.
How would I know if I'm truly depressed? How would I know if I'm really battling anxiety? Or am I just sad? I mean, how does a person know, like, do I have a mental illness? What are those disorders? Like, how could I even identify that to know that I need help beyond myself because I'm dealing with some stuff here and I just don't even know the root of it? Am I depressed? Am I filled with anxiety? Like, how does a person even get there answering that first question?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between sadness and depression, clinical depression. So clinical depression, now, it has to be diagnosed by a mental health professional, but I can give you some of the list of symptoms. The sadness has to occur more days than not. They're in a week for at least 2 weeks. There has to be a sense of hopelessness, of helplessness. And then when you look in the mirror, maybe you just look at yourself. There are self-deprecating thoughts or oppressive thoughts that you are repeating to yourself over and over. And a big one is loss of pleasure in activities that you used to once enjoy. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, you used to like to play tennis and now you just want to stay home and isolate. And by the way, the enemy loves to isolate people because there's power in community and he will isolate that person. That's depression. Anxiety is, the symptoms have to have occurred for at least 6 months. That's because we go through stress, through life, and that doesn't mean it's clinical anxiety. So if for the last 6 months you've had like worry or feelings of impending doom or something that has been causing you insomnia or hypersomnia, like where you just want to sleep through, or restlessness, irritability. Mm. So I've listed a lot of the symptoms. That's clinical anxiety. And there's no shame in getting help. And I'm glad you answered that question. Thank you. Because there is no shame in getting help. It doesn't mean that you're going to have anxiety your whole life. Mm. But hey, it's a start. Take that step forward and seek counsel. And hey, the Lord says there's wisdom in multitudes of counsel.
So I think a lot of people just need to know that there is hope.
There is hope.
There is an answer. And you don't have to live there. But do seek help if you need to. What would you say, Kenza, to someone who is maybe listening to your list and going, oh, check that one, check that one, check that one. Well, what do you say to that person who's struggling with their mental health today?
Yeah, you know, a verse that kept coming to mind this just over the last week as I was thinking about today, it says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And so if you're struggling with depression or anxiety, or you feel like your moods are up and down throughout the day, just understand that you have a God who loves you, a God who, I mean, He moved heaven and earth, per se, to call you by name, and He loves you personally. And so if you find yourself overwhelmed today, if I could just pray with you and pray over you, right now. So, faithful Father, God, Lord, thank you for each person who is listening right now.
Yes,
God. Lord, I don't know them, but you do.
Jesus.
Lord, whatever is overwhelming them, Lord, God, I pray that you unveil and you would infiltrate that space right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
God, I pray that they would feel that peace that surpasses understanding that I once felt, Lord, when I came face to face with you. Father, I pray that they learn to see you, God, as the loving, holy, righteous God that you are, the one who calls them by name specifically. And so, Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would silence the enemy's voice from them. Mm. God, I pray that you would, your voice would be louder.
Hallelujah.
That they would learn to see themselves, God, through your eyes. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Kenzie.
Yes,
so much. Good words. And by the way, if you're watching and you want someone to pray with you, we actually have people ready to pray with you, to listen to you, and just agree with you for whatever you're going through. So call that number on the screen if you want just to talk to another person. We do care about you. Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to get Kenza's book, and you can get it wherever you get books, we are offering it today. Tammy, as you know, we have a wonderful opportunity because we love to help you, but we also want you to help others who are in difficult circumstances. And if you will support our outreach today, just request Kenza's book, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health. We'll send it to you just as a thank you. But most of all, I just want you to watch this and just pause for a second and say, Lord, would you have me do something today? And if so, what would you have me do? As we reach out to others who are struggling mightily today, we can be the answer to their prayer. Watch this.
There's malnutrition clinics like this all over this area in Angola where mothers bring their children that are suffering from malnutrition. In these parts of southern Africa, child mortality under the age of 5 is the worst anywhere in the world. Many of these mothers bring their children and they watch and wait to see, will we be able to save their lives? Mothers like Angelina here with little Joachim. Joachim is a child that is being ravaged by malnutrition, literally the silent killer that is stealing the life out of her. This child represents so many in these areas. Her mother now can only watch, wait, and pray. Pray that we'll be able to save her child's life. My prayer today is that it's not too late for Joachim, that our therapeutic food that we're providing this child in this clinic will be able to save her life. But my other prayer is for the mothers in the villages all over these areas, mothers whose children aren't yet here, who if we don't reach with critically needed resources, with the food that they need, their children will end up in these clinics fighting this battle of life and death. You can help Joachim, Angelina, you can help the mothers in these villages. Today, you can be the answer to that prayer if you'll open your hearts and if you'll help us to bring the resources that are so critically needed, if you'll bring life in the form of food to these mothers in their villages and ensure that their children never end up in these clinics and never end up like little Joachim fighting the battle of life and death.
I know many of you join us in prayer for those children when you see pictures like that. I've been in one of the malnutrition clinics and prayed for a child, but I've seen that child die that very day. And that tells me, yes, we pray, but we also need to take action. That's what I'm asking you to do today, to take action. Let's do the faith and the works, because it's a beautiful work, but it's a critically needed work right now. And Tammy, you know, I love the joy that we see in the mission feeding outreach because I've seen the pain.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the fact that you've been in a malnutrition clinic and a little one has died, you know, I've had, I call it a privilege to have been in a malnutrition clinic as well, and praying, weeping. My heart aches every time I go into these countries and I'm with these babies, especially dying. We can't just let it end there. We have to act now. I know Isak said they're waiting, but some of them don't even have the time to wait. I want to get in there now before they even have to be in a clinic like that. I want to be able to bring food to these children right now. And we can do that together, Randy, if we come together.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yes.
Let me tell you how easy. A gift today of $30 will help feed 3 children for the next several months. A gift of $50 will help feed 5 children. Maybe you can make a gift of $100 and help feed 10 children for the next 3 months. Some of you, and I pray you'll do it if you can give $1,000, maybe even more, and feed so many children. But that's the formula. Pray and act.
Yeah.
I pray that you will act right now.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine, putting at risk thousands of lives, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you're going online or going to the phone. Make the best gift you can. It's such a privilege to be able to feed so many children in need, and we can only do it because of you. And today, if you would like Kenza Haddock's book, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, just request it with any gift towards Mission Feeding. We'd love to send it to you. Yeah. Kenza, you've been such a blessing. I've been blessed.
Yeah, I've loved it. Wellness Wednesday is one of my favorite times, and you have been perfect today. What a great conversation.
Your
book is incredible. It will help you gain lasting, not temporary, but lasting victory over areas in your life where you maybe feel like you've been struggling. Praise God for victory. It is yours. It is mine today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
And that quick, 2 seconds, my life completely changed.
Rabbi Kurt Snyder had a vision that gave him the answer he had been searching for all along.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.